We are going to have the material for you. There's going to be a lot of opportunities to serve in different ways, from crafts to refreshments to leading and teaching and welcoming, all kinds of things. Some of you may have never done one of these things before. It is a great time. I promise you the kids are going to show up and they're going to have a great time. All you need to do is be available. Okay? So August the 1st, through that week, through Thursday night, we're going to be doing it right here. So please let Dusty, Rick, or I know if you're interested in helping in some capacity, or mark it on your cards. Okay? Because that is less than a month away. So we have to get it and get going and get prepared for it, because it'll be here quicker than we probably can expect. Because I don't know about this group over here and the rest of you, but I can't believe we've already made it through camp. I woke up later this week thinking, did we really just go through camp, or did I just dream it? Because this seems about like that for me. And I promise you, I didn't spend too much time dreaming at camp, okay? Because I was, all right? But it was a great time, and in just a moment, we're going to have our campers come forward, and they're going to share. But please remember the fish fry and the Vacation Bible School. Very important things to remember, okay? All right, guys. I'd like to ask for you to come forward now. If you went to summer camp this past week, including the adults, I want the adults up here as well as the kids. So come on up here with me, please. All right, which microphone you want me to borrow? Oh, that's right. Never mind. I'm not. I could share personally a whole bunch of stories, and I hope that you guys will be asking for more testimonies. But this morning I wanted to give all of our campers and helpers and participants an opportunity. Hey, squeeze in over there, squeeze box. Logan, Joe, David, come on over here. You guys can stand in front behind one another. Yeah, we need more people on this side anyway. Can't depend on Philip to hold down this side all the time. All right. This isn't all who attended. We basically averaged approximately about 71 kids were with us last week. We know that we had at least 6 first-time professions of faith. Praise God for that. There were a tremendous amount of God moments, but I can't describe them all. So I'm going to give you guys an opportunity, if you want to. You can raise your hand. I'll come to you with the mic. To say one or two things about camp that God placed on your heart or showed you or revealed to you that you'd like to share with the congregation. So who wants to go first? All right. Surprise.
Okay, thank you, Dave. On the first night, a few of us had come from Chrysalis, and I don't know if y'all know that or what it is, but it's a teen version. It's kind of like a weekend retreat where there's 1 weekend for guys, 1 weekend for girls. And the guys' weekend, 4 of us left Chrysalis and went straight to camp. So we were kind of already on that spiritual high that we get from camp. And kind of the one thing that God revealed to me is his plan's always better than mine. And that was demonstrated by the first night where we're singing and all of a sudden the power goes out. And Gary gets a stool and sits in the middle of us and worships, and it was the coolest thing to hear us singing and then to hear God's music in the background with the thunder and the rain and the lightning, and how he provided for us even when we thought we could provide for ourselves with electricity, that he took that away and showed us how much he loves us, and that closeness that we get when all the other distractions are taken away. And it was just really, really cool.
And then when the worship was done?
Yeah.
As soon as we were finishing worship, the lights came back on. All right, who else? There you go, Ivy.
On Thursday, Mr. James Barn, he gave this whole speech about how on the other side of the gates, all the evil, the devil, and the flesh are going to still be there, and they won't change, but we can, and we can make a change.
Anybody on this side of the room? Just hold the whole thing.
Aren't you scared to hold it because I'm Big Daddy? Well, I got up last year and I talked after camp. You know what, everything that's going on in the world right now, I didn't get to camp until Monday night. And I've noticed that over the past few months, you know, with all the struggles and things going on, that I had really lost focus of a lot of things. And being with these kids, like I said last year, it really opens my eyes that, you know, one day we're all, you know, we're always God's children. But, you know, to see, you know, to forget all the things of the world, you know, everything that's going on outside and just, you know, not TVs or any of that nonsense. Just being with these kids is, it, you know, I told them to take that week off of work. Before I go to camp, it's, you know, I think I could be doing something completely different this week. But then when I get out there and when Thursday comes, I hate to even have to leave camp. I want it to just keep going. And if you have kids that are up here or, you know, if you prayed for us or you thought of us when we were out there, we appreciate it. And I love these kids. And I guess that's why they call me Big Daddy, because I'm like, you know, one of the adults. But at the same time, I try to shoulder up and be like a daddy to all of them and set a good example.
Anybody else want to share? You want to share, Joe, or you? Who else wants to share?
I just wanted to say, and it's something that we've discussed a couple times since camp, that I was really impressed with the way the high school boys, okay, well, before, yeah, how humble they are. Maybe I'm going to take back what I say. Just the way that they stepped up and led the entire week and set a good example for the rest of the camp, just got everyone else involved. That hasn't necessarily been the case in past years, and I was just really impressed with them this year. And it wasn't necessarily anything anybody had to make them do. They did it by their own initiative, and it really made a difference. So I was very excited to see that this year. So.
I echo what Megan said. These are not the same guys that were around even 3 weeks ago. God did something so powerful in them, and it was genuine, it's evident, and it's lasting. And just made me think of that scripture in 1 Timothy. It says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. And so let's look to these guys, because they showed this week how important the role of spiritual leadership from men is. And they're coming up, and James challenged them that he was going to treat them like men this week, and that's what they acted like. And they are going to be very strong leaders for this next generation. So I encourage you to look to them as examples in faith and love and purity and life. It's really very, very moving. Very moving this week.
All right, anybody else? Ellie, for talent night, Ellie did a great job with a song, and I'm sure Brother Gary has a video of it, but you'll have to ask him about it sometime to see it, but it's worth seeing. God used her to show that courage goes a long ways in speaking on behalf of God. So. Well, the other thing we did at camp, a lot of, sometimes, you know, you get these things in the middle of the night, 3 or 4 months before a camp, and you think, God, that just sounds kind of stupid, but I'm going to roll with it, hope it's you. And Terry and I talked this year, and we didn't have any chairs put down at camp. And for those who haven't been to the Tabernacle, picture a building about this size with no pews, no chairs, just a good, cool concrete floor. And this year, instead of putting chairs down, for those who came to family night, we took them up after you left. That we took all the chairs out, And that was a God thing, if it was ever a God thing, because basically we danced a whole bunch. And one of the things that God did before summer camp was put a song on Terry's heart from Toby Mack called Tonight. And she was teaching the kids before we went to camp, and then all of us did it at camp. And it's going to be a little different in here, Terry, but I guess God has a plan for this morning. But we're going to do it. They're going to do it for you this morning, and they're going to do it just right now.
We thank you for your prayers for the camp. It was our 15th year at camp. Someone was asking me this morning, he said, well, how many people have received Christ at camp? And to be honest with you, I don't know how many of the total over the years, but it's been a wonderful, wonderful thing. We crammed every person that we could get into the camp, every bed, every nook and cranny you could put a person. For all of, we're appreciative of you parents sending your children, for them inviting others to go. Of course, there's a waiting list every year. There's a longer waiting list this year. I wish we could take them all with us. Probably the most varied group of kids, socioeconomically, across the board, that we've ever had at camp. A very wide range. But it's wonderful to see the family of God together worshiping Him. And for all of you adults that gave up a week of vacation, you spent your time there, God bless you. God bless you. For all of you who gave money, we were able to provide camperships for 13 or 14 kiddos that would not have been able to go to camp unless you gave money. Yeah, it's good. It's really good. And we just praise the Lord. It's a great time. God takes you up on the mountain. Why? So He can send you back down the valley to do the work. One day we're going to spend forever on the mountain. We're going to be with Him forever, around the throne. But right now, He gives us a brief time. You know, Jesus, he'd go out on retreats. He'd go out in the wilderness by Himself. And then the Lord would, the Father would send Him back in amongst the people. That's what He's done with us. So we can share the message of Jesus. It's the simple good news that Jesus changes lives. He changes people. And we praise His name. I don't believe that camp, that physical campground, is the same this week. God came there in a powerful way. I'll be interested to see Brother Samuel, who pastors a Hispanic church here in town. He was coming in right after us. I'm going to call him this next week and see how camp was for him. But Lord bless you. Bless you. Oh, and I forgot to thank those who made goodies. Yeah, there's several of you guys, Big Daddy, James, some of y'all really need to be thanking God for those people. But I want you to know I sampled everything that came through there to make sure it was fitting for the children. And it was. It was good. It's 4th of July. And by the way, how many of you have gone online and have downloaded the gift inventory, have taken that so far? All right. It's out there on our website, thesycamorenetwork.com. You can download. It's in a Word format. If you can't download that on a computer, call me, and I will bring you, send you by pigeon, carry pigeon, cab, or something, a copy of it, a physical copy of it. But I'd really like for you to do that and try to get that done before next Sunday, okay? Can you do that? Take you about 30, 40 minutes to do it. Jay passed these out. It's been several months ago. It's a little booklet. It comes from Patriots Post. It has Declaration of Independence and the Constitution in it. And is Jay in here? There you are. Can we still get these? Okay. And how much are they a piece? Okay. All right. You have one in Greek? Okay. I wanted to read you the foreword in this. It is absolutely outstanding. We live in the freest nation that's ever been on the planet. We do not live in a perfect nation, however, do we? It has not been perfect in its history. Certain things. But I want you to know, there's never been another nation on the planet like this nation for freedom today. What we enjoy. And for all the people that are our detractors around the world, they're still teeming at the borders trying to get into this nation. Imagine the number of nations that people are trying to get out of today. When I travel abroad, and I look at my passport, that American passport, as soon as I leave this country, I've got that passport. I always keep it in my back pocket. It's shaped to my body now, take it with me wherever I go. But it is like heavenly gold, that passport, because what it represents this country. And what does this country represent? Well, hear this. On December 16th, 1773, Tommy Seidner gave me some cheaters. On December 16th, 1773, radicals from Marlborough, Massachusetts, threw up 342 chests of tea from three British East India Company ships into the Boston Harbor in protest of an oppressive taxation and tyrannical rule. They wrote of their actions, and I quote, "A freeborn people are not required by the religion of Christ to submit to tyranny, but may make use of such power as God has given them to recover and support their liberties." That event, of course, is called the Boston Tea Party. On April 19th, 1775, Paul Revere departed Charlestown, Massachusetts, near Boston, for Lexington, Concord, in order to warn John Hancock, Samuel Adams, and others of the Sons of Liberty that British regulars were coming to arrest them and to seize their weapons cache. Revere was captured after reaching Lexington, but his friend Samuel Prescott took word to the militiamen in Concord. In the early dawn of that first Patriots' Day, Captain John Parker, commander of the militiamen at Lexington, ordered, "Don't fire unless fired upon, but if they want war, let it begin here." And it did. American minutemen fired the shot heard round the world, as immortalized by Ralph Waldo Emerson, confronting the British on Lexington Green at Concord's Old North Bridge. On July 6, 1775, Thomas Jefferson and John Dickinson issued their Declaration of Cause and Necessity of Taking Up Arms, and I quote, "With hearts fortified with these animating reflections, we most solemnly before God the world declare that exerting the utmost energy of those powers which our beneficent Creator hath graciously bestowed upon us, the arms we have been compelled by our enemies to assume, we will, in defiance of every hazard, with unabating firmness and perseverance, employ for the preservation of our liberties, being with one mind resolved to die free men rather than to live as slaves." A year later in Philadelphia, on July 4th, 1776, now we are 234 years hence, Jefferson and 55 merchants, farmers, doctors, lawyers, and other representatives of the original 13 colonies of the United States of America in the General Congress assembled pledged our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor to the cause of liberty, declaring, "When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with one another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind, requires they should declare the causes which impelled them to the separation. And then he proceeded with the Declaration of Independence. Our founders further avowed, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are..." "That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving that these just powers come from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as they seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness," unquote. Our Declaration of Independence was derived from common law, and common law defined as the laws of nature and of nature's God, general revelation. All men being endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, it calls on the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions and the protection of divine providence. At the conclusion of the Revolutionary War, it was believed that the Articles of Confederation between the states, which had been adopted in 1777, were not sufficient to secure the interest of the Confederation. Thus, delegates convened in Philadelphia in 1787 to draft what? The Constitution. Using the Virginia Plan, drafted primarily by James Madison, the delegates spent 5 months of deliberating a constitutional draft which would secure the rights and principles enumerated in the Declaration by establishing a republican form of government. We live in a democratic republic. Under strict rule of law, reflecting the consent of the people, and severely limiting the power of the central government. George Washington and the delegates to the Constitutional Convention wrote, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish, ensure domestic, provide for the common, promote the general, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America." For anyone that today, as Rick shared earlier today, that would be a revisionist of history, that would go back and see this country was not founded upon the principles of our Lord Jesus and upon the Scripture, they obviously have not read our history and are unfamiliar with the testimonies of all the people who were the founders, both the ones we know about in history and all the nameless masses that were there. In that regard, today, we live in perilous times around the world. We're fighting two wars right now. Hopefully, the things are being put in order in Iraq, and we pray that in Afghanistan it'll be done in the same way. What nation, after occupying another nation, would voluntarily leave that nation and continue to subsidize them economically? And how many times have we done that very thing in our history? Germany, Japan, Iraq, Vietnam, just to name a few. I want you to see this video and note the words, and particularly what this child says as they share the 91st Psalm. Somebody get the lights, please. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, God, for loving me.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence.
Thank you, God, for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee.
Thank you, God, for the brave men and women who fight for our freedom.
Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Thank you, God, for soldiers.
Hit the lights, Michael. All around the world today are soldiers, men and women, who are out there protecting our freedom and the right that we have here. And what is at the heart of that? Who is at the heart of freedom? God. That 91st Psalm, I hope you'll go back and read it in its entirety sometime today. And read it with an understanding of what God is doing for us every single day. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. When you choose to live in God's shelter, under His shelter, you get the blessing of His shadow over you, protecting you every day. But that's a choice we make. Are we going to choose to live in His shelter or to depend upon ourselves? I say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Today it's not good enough for your family to have a faith. Your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother. You've got to have a faith. You've got to choose to trust. That's a choice you make. The fabric of freedom in this country and all the Bill of Rights And then all the things that we have seen, as the truth of that has been carried out even in the last century with the civil rights movement, and we see finally that some of these things have happened for all people. And we can say to the world today, come, give me your tired, give me your prayer, give me those that are downtrodden, bring them to this country, and they have. They've enjoyed great, great freedom, and we have it today. But it is precious, and we are always one generation from its extinction. Just one, and it's gone. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day. Even in the midst of, and I watched it again last night, and I chose not to show it today. I watched that. I saw a home video again of the Twin Towers coming down. And I heard the cries of people as they watched it and the terror that came. I want you to know that we who trust in God need not live under any kind of terror, because we live under the protection of His hand. And the power is not in how many weapons we have. The power is our trust in God. And when that moves, when we quit trusting in God, do you know what also moves from our nation? The hand of blessing. The shadow of the Almighty. It's not that He will have moved. We have. So every generation, we must renew our trust in Him. And then finally, you remember this passage. He will give His angels charge concerning you. You remember who that was applied to in the New Testament? To Jesus. But who else is that applied to? To us. That they're angels even assigned. Right now, I can't see them, but there are angels that are attending this worship today who are looking in, who are here. And we thank God that He has dispatched them in our behalf. Because He has loved me, us loving God, therefore I will deliver them. I will set them securely on high because you have known my name. The name that is above every name. The name that when it is spoken, the Scripture says, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that who?
Jesus
is Lord over all. And we bless Him. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. And with a long life, I will satisfy him, and I will let him see my salvation. That's a beautiful, beautiful story. It's the salvation story. It's the love story of God with man. On this 4th of July, as we celebrate freedom, let us first and foremost celebrate the freedom that we have in Jesus, who has set us free from the bondage of sin and death, and given us life everlasting, and not when, just when we die, not just pie in the sky when you die, but pie right now. I want to ask you, are any of you experiencing God's pie right now? Every one of you better have your hands up, because you're sucking in God's air right now. And you're experiencing God's presence and God's power in your life. And just the fact that you get get to live in this country. Look at all the places you could have been born, but you were born here, and God has blessed you. Second time that I went over to England, when I came home and I got through customs and I realized I was truly on American soil, I got down on my knees and I kissed the ground and I thanked God for what He had given me. I'm going to pray for us. Then we're going to open the altar, and maybe you want to come and pray and give thanksgiving to God. I think it's a great day. I think it's very appropriate to do that today. But I want to ask you today, if you're here with us and you have never received Jesus in your life, I want to encourage you today. I want to offer, by His power, His salvation to you. Won't you come to Him? I'm not asking you today if you've got religion or if you think you're a spiritual person. I'm not asking any of those nebulous questions. I'm asking you a very specific question. Do you have Jesus as Lord of your life? Is He in your life? Second question I'm going to ask you is, are you living like it? How's your attitude today? And a good way to judge attitudes is, how's your attitude around those that you can usually let your hair down around? Your family members, your closest friends. You can put up a pretty good act for others. What's it like? Is Jesus Lord today? It is the 4th of July, the 234th birthday of this nation. How about it? Let's pray. Lord, as we open the altar now, we bow in Your presence and we thank You for Your power in us. For what You have done, Jesus, that You died on the cross for us that we might have freedom, and that You arose on the third day, You ascended back to the Father, and You're coming again someday, very soon. We thank You and we praise You for the gift of life that we have in You, for the joy of knowing You, for the freedom that You give us every day. Let us, just as the song says, as You died to make men holy, Lord, let us live to make men free. We make this prayer in Your name. The altar's open.
Jesus died for me. Jesus set me free. Jesus died for me, and He rose again.
If you've not brought your card up today, we'd like to get your prayer card. And if you have an offering to bring to the Lord, you can bring that to it this time. Pray in church. Because God wants to be more of a praying church.
Amen.
I believe He's calling us to that. Brother John wants us to pray for a special request in their lives.
As some of you may know, my sister-in-law will be going into surgery on Tuesday morning. My youngest sister-in-law is giving a kidney to my oldest sister-in-law. And it reminded me of what Dusty was saying earlier, that we are truly blessed by God to live in a country where she even has the freedom to choose to give a kidney, and the oldest to be free to receive one. In some places, she would be considered too old to receive a kidney. And I would ask your prayer Tuesday morning that all would go well, that God would be in that place and to bring them through and be healthy. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Bless you. It's Eden and Susan. Anybody else need prayer right now? All right. All right, well, just keep your hand up. Let's pray over those right now. Lord, I'm not omniscient. I can't even be two places at once. I can't even know what two people think. Sometimes I don't even know what I think. But I thank You. You are omnipresent. You're omniscient. You're omnipotent. You're overall. And I'm praying over these requests acknowledged by these raised hands right now. I'm asking You to come with Your power and Your strength and to show to the world that You are God and that You are Lord over all. And You will be praised. Thank You for the privilege of praising You. We thank You in advance already, Lord, for what You're going to do. For the miracles that happened this past week at camp, especially 6 miracles of salvation. We thank You and praise You. And for those yet to come, we bless You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before you leave today, happy 4th of July. And please let Dane, Rick, or I know, preferably if you could write it down, that you are that you're interested in helping us out for Vacation Bible School. God bless you. Be safe.